What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you a bartender that dreads the phrase, "Hey, can you put the game on?" At Sports on What, we understand your pain and we're here to help. Over the air, satellite, cable, or streaming, Sports on What knows what channel the game is on and you can too. Follow your favorite teams, set alerts, and filter by provider to get the results you need. Stop wasting time searching and never miss kickoff again. Just download the Sports on What app and you'll always know how to watch the game. Available for Android and iOS. Start your 7-day free trial when you download Sports on What and subscribe today.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
2 weeks from today, we party. Black Raven Brewing, here we come once again. We are on our way to Woodinville. The new beer is out, the Men's Room 20th Anniversary Lager. And we are having a launch party for the brand new beer as we broadcast live from 2 till 6, absolutely free. If you're not getting a chance to try the new beer yet,
you're a fool.
This is your chance to get it on draft at Black Raven, and you will be part of the live studio audience. Again, it's absolutely free. We're going to do a little drinking and do our show live 2 until 6. Again, that is Friday, February the 7th. Hope to see you up in Woodinville.
Yeah, you'll be part of the show, man.
Men's Room 20th Anniversary Lager launch party.
In fact, I want you to be so much part of the show. I'm just going to shut the hell up and watch.
You're not going to do the show?
No, they're going to be part of the show. Just let them do it, man.
We'll have a guest thrill every break.
A guest thrill.
I'm trying to imitate you like you've been trying to imitate
Bob
Marley all day.
Guest thrills will be hard to pull off in Woodville.
I think so.
I'm going to have to recruit.
I do.
Okay. All right. Head Chef's coming up with Ted's Meat and Potatoes at 4:30, but first time for a few emails from the Men's Room at KISW.com. You've got mail. You've got mail. Oliver Jones, please wish a happy third birthday to our son, Lincoln, with a K. Give him a little kid face sandwich and some green beans. Thanks, guys. That's from his parents, Brad and Kylie.
Fish sandwich.
Green bean.
What?
Green bean.
Okay.
Green bean.
Yeah.
Green bean.
Hi there, gentlemen. Want to wish our daughter, Adriana, a very happy 10th birthday. Amazing little person. She's been drumming for a couple of years now and loves every minute of it. So can she please have Mickey and Goofy telling her their views on frogs and a happy Chinooka? That from her dad, mom, and her three sisters.
Happy Chinooka.
Well, gosh, it sure is hard to come up with one single opinion on frogs. I mean, after all, there's Kermit the Frog. He and I go way back. We were drinking buddies when we were roommates in college. Then there's the old Budweiser frogs. Boy, they went on to do some bad things after their commercials ended.
Huh? Yeah. Also, don't forget, we've had a frog on our team for a long time. Actually, now that I think about it, he's a cricket. But the both dream.
Jesus.
Jiminy. Sweet corn nuggets.
No, that's the thing about it.
Oh, Mixter. Mixter, mix that one up.
What is the Disney frog?
I think about it.
He's maybe a cricket.
Maybe the one in New Orleans. What was that one called?
What, the like the princess and the frog?
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go.
What was his name?
I could probably buy that frog from the WB.
Oh, no.
That's the one that's showing up in Woodinville.
Oh. Hello, my darling. Hello, my baby. It's Hello,
my ragtime girl.
WB.
That was a great Chappelle skit, too.
I don't know if I remember that.
Oh, you don't remember
He's
that
He's just
one?
On stage riffing about that frog, just said he feels racist.
Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Chicken.
Yeah, that's all he had to think.
Jesus.
Hello, guys. Today is my 33rd trip around the sun.
Hard, Mike.
For my birthday, I would like the following. First of all, can the captain discuss the time he invited a bunch of women onto the SS Guppy and then turned into one giant catfight? Then can everyone, Mike included, talk all over each other about beanbag chairs? Then from Paul, your loyal blind listener from Appleton, Wisconsin.
Ooh. Well, ahoy there and happy New Year to your land lovers. When you say that time I invited a bunch of women onto the SS Guppy, you need to be a little more specific. But I will tell you, the first time I did it, I remember I was real excited for the lady from the Land O'Lakes to come up and show me what she's got. Turns out she has a penis and her name is Chico. Nobody knew until that moment, but that didn't stop the fun, and I think you misunderstood what I meant when I said a cat fight. I said a kitty fight. Two different things. Crunch bears.
Oh, see, beanbag chairs.
You got to get that W frog involved.
I used to have beanbag
chairs.
Oh, beanbag chairs, man.
Now they have
you know what I call that? Because my wife sits on my lap. It is just that simple, man. My kid doesn't make one. I can't sit on the goddamn thing and get out of it.
It's a problem. Those giant ones.
Broken, just all the beans everywhere.
Those giant ones are great.
Dude, my daughter had one, I don't know, like 3 or 4 years ago for her birthday. It was about a third of her bedroom, right? So now she upgraded because she's a teenager and wants to change things around. So she wanted to get rid of the beanbag chair. My son looked at me and was like, over my dead body. So I cannot believe how heavy these things are, man. Mm-hmm. So we dragged this bitch down to the basement, and I mean the beanbag chair, and I'm a daughter, please don't confuse this. I got the beanbag chair down to the basement, and that is his go-to video game.
Oh, man, they're great.
But, and he's like, dude, sit on it, it's comfortable, it's super comfortable. Then I'm like, I need you to get up. He said, why? I said, because I need your hand to help pull my old ass out of this thing.
Yep. First apartment ever had. We had a beanbag chair that my buddy brought from home that was his.
Yeah.
And then we had an inflatable, like, Coors Light chair.
Nice.
Both of those.
You were living.
Both of those were destroyed within a month.
Oh, in a month?
Those were basically our living room furniture.
Dude, I had a buddy.
And we had a spool as a coffee table.
We had that for a while. That's handy.
I had a buddy that had, like, a 4-bedroom house. But if it was like a week where he didn't have his daughter, we'd go over there and party and stuff. But he had one of those giant beanbags, and my buddy, it would be like a fight to see who got to sleep in the beanbag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, here you go.
Happy birthday to you.
Yaws, a dirty German, brought to you by Men's Room Original Sausage, available through Uli's World Famous.
Hello,
sausage.
My bitches. Hello, my darling. Hello, my bitchy girl.
Schweinefly.
Time to open wide and sample Ted's meat and potatoes. Now, here's your host, head chef of the Men's Room, the Ted Nugent.
Head chef of the house.
Thank you, folks. Thank you. So the folks over at Slate, they put together a list of what they consider 25 most important recipes of the past century. The ones that changed it all in American cooking.
All right.
Now I just have the top five here.
Top five.
Miles had mentioned it earlier, but it is the Caesar salad. Made by Caesar Cardini, 1964.
I'm glad his name was Caesar, because I'm just saying, like, if you had invented it and they called it the Ted salad, it doesn't have the same effect.
Do you think he sprinkled the Parmesan
the Miles
like this,
salad,
you
know? The Steve salad? Like,
well, in Mexico, they do it the traditional way, where you take the whole romaine leaf and you use that. I kind of like cutting into that. I think that's a better Caesar salad.
It is a better Caesar salad. But
I like it. Like, now you can buy bag salads, and it's like really thin lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a shredded lettuce guy through and through.
Have you had a Caesar salad made with the actual anchovies in the dressing?
Yeah. But he was an Italian-American.
But he was in Mexico.
But he had moved to Mexico. I can't remember if it was like a anti-Italy thing. It might have been like World War II because of Mussolini.
Right.
So he goes, oh, you know what? My bad. It was Prohibition. So he had a restaurant, but he still wanted to serve booze. So a lot of these guys moved down to Old Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started this restaurant. And then, yeah, he said he put this out together using the dregs of an almost empty icebox, some lettuce, lemon, and egg. W sauce, as I call it now. Some people debate it whether or not it's in there. But yeah, he put it all together, and it's awesome. And I mean, Caesar salad, like, again, not the healthiest salad, but you'd be hard-pressed to meet somebody who doesn't enjoy a Caesar salad.
I don't like lettuce, but I do like the dressing a lot, where I'll use the dressing on other things. And like anything, if you go to almost any restaurant, if they have salads, if they have two, there's like a house salad and a Caesar salad.
Right. I would also put chicken Caesar wrap inside of a spinach tortilla up with anything out there.
All day, any day. It's kind of the clam chowder of the salad world. It's always available.
Clam chowder of the salad.
Same thing as the restaurant. You go to a restaurant, you got a house salad, and you got a Caesar salad. You also have the soup of the day or a clam chowder.
Well, as the head chef once said around 3 a.m. smoking weed to people, there's two things you know about Ted Smith. He enjoys a blonde white trash woman and anything wrapped in a spinach tortilla.
Including a blonde white trash woman.
They made tortillas that big. Toll House. Chocolate crunch cookies.
Oh. They're saying it's one of the greatest inventions in the last 100 years.
Yeah, old Ruth Wakefield, Miles, 1938.
Didn't she screw up? Texas sent in earlier, like she was trying to make chocolate cookies, ran out of cocoa powder, whatever, used chocolate bits. They ended up not melting the way she thought, and she had a chocolate chip cookie.
Correct. No one before her had ever mixed butter cookie with a chocolate cookie.
What were they doing?
They both just existed separately. She mixed them together, and then she worked at the Toll House Inn.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, Otis Spunkmeyer is not a real human.
Why would you pick that name if it's not a real... It's like Orville Redenbacher, right? When he did his commercial, he's like, hi, I'm Orville Redenbacher. I'm like, I believe you, because no one would lie and say
that's their name. He was a sperm donor.
So I would just assume Otis Spunkmeyer had to be a real person. Like, who said, you know what's going to sell food? Otis Spunkmeyer. I'm telling you, that's the name people want to hear.
It's so salty.
Yeah, it says, I want this in my mouth. I mean, look, I'm in the wrong. It worked. That would not have been the name I picked.
They call it the green bean bake, but it's the green bean casserole as we know it.
This makes the list, too.
Yeah.
This woman, she invented it. She was a supervisor at research development at Campbell's Soup Company, which wanted to make a quick, easy recipe using the cream of mushroom soup. The resulting casserole became a holiday staple for years, and the cables began printing the recipe on the soup cans. It's a great story. That one was all on how foods have built America.
It wasn't like they just weren't selling the cream of mushroom soup?
Correct.
So make it an ingredient, not the meal.
Basically, she's working in the kitchen. I think she was like a mom and like a wife. And they were like tasked her with like, what else can we use our soup for that people would like? And she mixed up a bunch of different stuff. But that green bean casserole, they're like, ooh. We have something here. Yeah.
It's kind of like yeast. Why don't we make bread?
It's kind of like the French onion soup packet. It doesn't really get made in soup.
French onion soup, right.
I know. We talked about that last week. I can't tell you the last time. I don't know that I've ever had a bowl of French onion soup. I've certainly never made it at home. It's always just onion soup mix and sour cream.
Yep. And that's it.
Saw a good picture today of somebody dragging a ruffled chip through dip, and it's got to get back to my Zen garden. waffles and fried chicken.
Okay.
Nice.
This guy's name's unreal. Verminant Smart Grovesader? I don't know, 1970.
Somebody said, whatever we do not use his name.
Yeah, the actor, radio personality, anthropologist, food writer, offered a simple recipe for waffles, assumed the reader already knew how to get fried chicken, and embedded the food deep within it, created a cultural icon. To me, I always thought Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles in L.A. got credit for it. You see it a lot in soul food menus, but I still feel like...
If it's on the menu, do you order it?
I love chicken and waffles.
Okay. I'm not sure that I've ever had it.
We actually made it at home not that long, a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
I will say this. Traditionally, it used to be like a two-piece chicken.
Yeah.
You know, bones involved in the waffles. But a lot of places you go now, probably not as soulful as some other places. It's usually fried chicken strips.
Yeah, it's strips.
That seems like a proper way to say that. All right. And then the good old-fashioned pancake. That was... Basically, people have been using them forever. I said this. I made pancakes over Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've ever made them as an adult. Shout out to Dolly Parton. I use her mix.
Huh.
It is so simple.
It's dead easy.
I mean, they start bubbling up. You flip them.
That's it.
This is mind-blowing.
It is. I'm just not a big pancake eater. Oh. Somebody's like, can we have pancakes? I said, I'll whip up some pancakes. Yeah. I don't give a damn. And I was just like, man, I get why so many, you know, it's like the stereotype of the single dad, you know, makes pancakes or whatever.
Because they're a hit and they're easy, right? So you end up being a hero and it's like, I kind of did nothing. But yeah. The kids are happy.
Mm-hmm. Plus, if you
make a Mickey Mouse one next time. If you have, there's little ones around. Like if there's somebody's house.
I did Venus de Milo.
Also, you can make a snowman one. Mm-hmm. You know, bigger bottom, middle.
Well, I made a bunch of them. There was some left over, and then there were some sausage links. So I basically just made like a little hot dog.
Okay. Oh, no. You know, I would say, as far as probably the most important food, I would think ever, right? And not just the last 100 years, I would say pasta. As far as things go, because you can make 10 million different things with it, whether you put it in soup, whether you just put sauce on it, if you're my daughter, just eat it buttered, whatever the case. And remember, so like Italy's known for pasta, it came from China.
Correct.
They were not eating pasta. So Marco Polo went to China and came back. Think about that, man. They're eating seafood, they're eating a lot of vegetables, they're more on a Mediterranean tip, right, in Italy. He comes back with pasta, they basically took it over, and that's what everyone thinks, but like... China came up with that, man, and as far as just a versatile food that pretty much anyone can eat, unless you have some weird dietary restriction, I would say pasta.
Yeah, I'd say General Tso's chicken.
Well, and spaghetti and meatballs also super simple to make.
Yep.
Cheap, easy to... I mean, I remember...
That's the thing. Pasta stays cheap.
Right. Like, when you're a Catholic growing up, like, the church, like, seemed like once a month or whatever, you'd have spaghetti feeds or this or that.
$5.
Yeah, exactly, right?
And they just
scoop out all that spaghetti and everything, so you know you get it. And then also, I mean, Chef Boyardee,
my God, man, yeah,
who was a presidential chef?
I don't think about that. Everyone makes fun of his food, like homeboy cooked for presidents.
Yeah, and his name was Chef
Boyardee.
Boyardee.
You think they'd have taken Franco-American based on his name?
Yeah.
Franco-American, I mean, they had SpaghettiOs, but to me, their sauce was always so runny.
Yeah.
And it seems odd to be talking about sauces when they come out of a can.
I know, but still.
Correct. I'm with you. I think that's an important one. And then whether or not we still eat them and everything, but I'm telling you, the guy that invented Hot Pockets, he was the first, him and his buddy, they're the first two to figure out a way to like cook stuff in a microwave and it stays without screwing up the bread and everything.
So it's kind of like the first microwave specific food that's introduced to the market.
Correct. And then they take that technology of that little silver lining.
Yeah.
And that's what you got. Like, remember like the Mama Celeste personal pizzas, you'd put it on that. So basically, microwave foods kind of came along as these guys that invented the Hot Pocket and the way, you know, again, so the bread wouldn't be rock hard or this or that.
My question is, did they work for a food company or did they work for like a microwave manufacturer? Because a lot of times, you know, you create a microwave and you go, God, that's a great idea. But no matter what food you put in there, to your point, the consistency changes.
Did you guys know they took that away from the Hot Pocket?
What's that?
No longer part of the cooking process.
What's that?
The little silver
you don't put it in the sleeve?
No. It's not included in the packaging anymore. They figured out a way to do it without that thing.
Huh. I did not know that. Yeah. But I also don't think I've had a Hot Pocket in probably 12 or 13 years.
I've got to give it up to the Uncrustable guy, too.
Yeah. That dude. I mean, look. And I'm a peanut butter and jelly purist. I know you guys were excited about the Uncrustable. And I'm like, I'm sure it's good. It cannot be as good as they're saying. And it was every bit as good as you guys said. And that rarely happens where something lives up to the hype. That, to me, truly did.
And speaking of kind of quick foods, the Pop-Tart. Well, Krispy Kreme's is now offering Pop-Tart-inspired donuts. Two of them come with mini Pop-Tarts on top of it.
Oh.
All right.
Three donut flavors would be frosted strawberry, chocolatey fudge, and brown sugar cinnamon, which are kind of the classics. The strawberry has the strawberry filling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Does chocolatey fudge mean it's not actually chocolate?
You know, like, well, fudge is different than chocolate.
I know,
right?
But that's what I mean. When you say chocolate tea fudge, it's kind of like Jack in the Box would talk about like their
cheesy sauce.
But
right, they can't just call it cheese. Taco Bell says melty cheese.
Right, there's only this is what we're trying to imitate, but it's not exactly that.
Ted, when I worked in Annapolis,
Icy Cream,
the radio station was on top of the fudge factory,
dairy product,
yes,
downstairs, and it was in the window. It was this big copper bowl thing. They boiled it up, man, and all the fudge smell would come up and just linger in the studios and the office.
Man.
It was absolutely torture. It was absolute torture. Fudge smells good when it's being cooked. It's one of the
fudge smells. Unbelievable, especially if you go to a chocolate shop and you're saying, and they're making it right in front of you.
Oh, they got that big paddle, man, and they're doing all the stuff. Jesus, man, every day we're like, not again, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, look, when I was a kid, you'd go to these historic sites like Gettysburg,
mm-hmm.
and they'd always have these old shops, and they were always making fudge.
Fudge is massive in that part
of
the country.
I'd always go down and go, Bob, pack me up some fudge, man. I need so much to take home.
Yeah, exactly. Or when you'd go to the beach, right? We'd always go to the candy kitchen or something, and that was like part of going to the beach, was that you got taffy and fudge.
Did you like the taffy?
I have some taffy at home that I bought in Maryland. I brought it back with me.
Like, it's okay. It's not bad. I just, like, if it was good, stuck on my teeth,
if it was good,
fudge.
It would be gone.
If it was good, I would have given it to Thrill. Now, on the other hand, I did give him and his wife a package of burger cookies.
That is correct.
How long did those stick around?
Well, there was only two.
Oh, again, not long.
Right, but the taffy I like enough. We're like, taffy staying at home with old chef.
Hey, man, that's a fair deal.
Shot of the day is coming up at 5:08. You are listening to The Men's Room.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up here at 5:08, we will drink and toast with a shot of the day.
And we do have your headlines coming up at 5:50.
But first, quick check on Mike Hogg and some of the stories and headlines he is not working on.
Thank you, Miles. Scientists revealed that a 20,000-year-old human fossil that was found in Japan was actually just from an ancient bear.
What is it about this bear that they got confused with a human
bear? So they thought that what they had found was a human femur that was that old, right? And then they actually started doing a little bit more research on it, a little bit more in-depth look into it, and turned out, no, this is the forearm of a bear.
Well, I'm glad they continued to do the research. That's what, look at the bone. That's a femur. All right.
Right. Is that the one where they said this human likely died from a broken femur? But in fact, it was. Yeah.
Bare arm. There's a gateway to the Grand Canyon in Arizona that features a museum. You'd like this, Miles, with nothing but fossilized poop.
Yep. They opened last year.
It's the poop museum.
Yep.
Do they have any fresh poop in there? I know they have the fossilized poop. No, I mean, like, you know, airtight container. Like, they visited us from Alabama. Notice the difference in the diet between Alabama and, say, New Hampshire. Right? It'd be interesting.
Well, the question I have to say, as much as a joke that you're making, that would actually be fascinating.
Could you? As dumb as it sounds, I bet you'd take the time. If they had to poop from all 50 states, taking, I don't know, whatever your famous dish, you know. Sure. So, Seattle salmon poops versus the Rochester garbage plate poops.
What is the process of fossilization? I know it's time, obviously.
Right.
But could, like, Steve's son, you know, he's young.
Mm-hmm.
Could he try to take one of his, you know, more prominent...
bury it in the backyard, like a time capsule.
Yeah.
Like, do not dig this up for 5,000 years.
Put it in a jar. I don't know what the hell you would...
I don't think you could have it in a jar.
And then, like, a time capsule, you open it, like, when you're 75, and just see what you got there.
Wouldn't be fossilized yet, man. I think it'd have to be, like, look... We're doing. You'd have to like work with Harvard and be like, "Look, we're going to assume that your institution is still around 1,000 years from now." Okay, so this plot of land, it's been marked. These are different turds. Do not dig this up until the year. Yeah. You know.
If they say like you got to put it in a pressure cooker for an hour?
Or something would like, give it a try.
Yeah, I mean, just for the
see what happens. I mean, hell,
still make fried chicken in there anymore?
They make diamonds, you know. Why not fossilize poop?
Fossil is the remains of once living organism that has been geologically altered and is at least 10,000 years old.
Oh, 10,000.
Okay, so we don't have that much time.
So, no, it is just strictly time. It has been preserved, and you can study it, you can take a look at it, but he's 10,000 years dead.
Tell my son to stop pooping in the yard now.
Trouble in Istanbul as a particular bootleg alcohol has killed 23 people in 48 hours.
Damn.
Lord, man.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Wild turkey.
Whatever the label is not what's in there.
I'm not working on it, Ted. I have no idea. Yeah, but whoever it is, he's gaining a bad reputation if he's trying to start his own liquor business. A new study found that parents do, in fact, have a favorite child.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got bad news for one of them.
Yep.
Well, that gets you wondering, you know, are you the favorite or are you...
No.
No.
Yes.
No.
As an old show that I would love, that I used to love as a kid would call it the Reject. And good news is we have some signs to look out for.
The Mentor Top 10. The Mentor Top 10.
Painful signs you were your parents' least favorite child. They forgot your birthday. Miles. They just hope you passed high school. Thrill.
Yes.
They don't talk about what they saw through the basement window. Ted.
Damn.
They never threw you a birthday party or let you attend any. Mike. Or if you're me, the older brother got everything he wanted. The younger brother fought tooth and nail to get what the older brother got. My reward was being ignored.
It's a good callback out of him.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, he is not wrong.
Yeah. Yep.
Man's been with us a little too long.
Oh, yeah.
So these are some signs that you might have been the least favorite child. Let's see here. Your parents always sided with one sibling that wasn't you.
Oh, yeah. They're going to side with my brother, but... To be fair, it's because he was telling the truth. That's an honest to God statement right there.
They reward your siblings more.
Well, he earned it.
Yeah.
That's
based on grades at that age. It's not like, dude, way to hit two home runs. We're going to take you to McDonald's.
Right.
It was like, you got a C+, not good enough. We told you B-. That's McDonald's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what you're good at, you're not going to get rewarded.
Correct.
Not necessarily. I feel like if you performed well in whatever field it was that you were pursuing,
that's
you can do it.
Their call. Right. So you might like that pursuit, but they have no interest in it. Therefore, it's not important enough.
They did not care when my band played his first club gig. My brother was on honor roll. They cared.
True.
And I get it because I'd probably be the same way. But either way, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're less patient with you.
I would almost say my parents had to be. My brother did not test their patience. I did. So, and they exerted a lot of patience with it. I would just always find a breaking point.
About to say, so.
I would take advantage of the patience. It wasn't like I learned some life lesson. I won't do it again. It's like, oh, I'm going to do it again.
But were they short before just the audible correction started? Steven?
No.
No.
No, I mean, my dad was like, look, man, you effed up once, try not to make the same mistake twice, and I would do it like three or four times.
All right. They say they criticize you and your family. Again, these are the signs that you might have been the least favorite child.
Nah.
Says it won't matter what you do if you're the least favorite child, nothing you do will be right or good enough, and this extends to your partner and children.
No. I mean, at least not to my face.
That at that point is...
At that point, like, you have crappy parents.
Yeah, that's on your parents at that point. Your siblings get new stuff, and you get hand-me-downs.
Depends on the age.
I mean,
I was the youngest.
Stuff,
I mean, that happens.
Right.
I don't know.
That's cost-saving. Like, that's not about I have a... Like, look, this kid is older and bigger than you, and I don't want to buy this crap again, so yeah.
If I don't have to. Yeah. And guess what? You're growing every year. Like, I've worn the same pair of shoes now for 2.5-3 years.
Right.
Well, then you needed a new pair of shoes every 8 months to a year.
Right.
So it was just this never-ending cycle of just basically this is a temporary patch. But if you can keep any of that stuff, and right. I used to give all my stuff to my brother. He still has shirts that I wore growing up from scout camp.
That was my thought, is that yes, it happens a lot when you're a child, but then I feel like there comes a certain age where the frequency that you're getting hand-me-downs goes down.
But what does he get besides clothes? I'm just trying to think. Because even if it's a car, I'm like, cool. I mean, like, you're giving me a car. I don't care that my brother had it.
Thanks. Signs that you might have been the least favorite child. They're not concerned about your physical health.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
That was never really.
Again, that's not necessarily that you're the favorite or the not favorite. That's you have bad parents.
That's horrible parents.
If you are legitimately sick or injured and your parents just don't care, your parents need to reassess.
They're also the ones that do the shopping. They're in control of the menu for the most part. I mean, there's stuff that you can snack on, but when it comes to eating, whether you might be in control of it one or two times a week, but your diet's up to them.
Right.
I also think, too, with the injuries, again, as the youngest, it seemed like my brother, if he got a scratch on him, they were in the hospital.
Because they overreact. When they realize, right. Put it this way. When my son fell down the stairs learning to walk, I don't even think I got off the sofa. Well, my daughter did. He kind of freaked out, but it's like, they're fine. There's a difference between being hurt and being injured.
Yeah.
You don't respond so much to being hurt. Like, you got to tough it out, shed your tears, and it'll be done, right? When you're injured, yeah, then we jump on this and take care of it.
Correct.
I just remember once... I can't remember what I did to my ankle. It was a sports industry injury. But same kind of thing. I'm like, I am. It is, right, because I'm like 12. I'm like, this really hurts. You'll be fine. You know, let's see tomorrow. And then like 2 days later, we went to the doctor. And they're like, yeah, he needs to be on crutches. Like, this is messed up. Like,
all right.
But I don't think that my parents not. They were just like, yeah, I don't know. He'll be fine.
Right, because we've seen it a million times before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've reacted this way several times. Walk it off.
Right, that's
you'll
the thing.
Be okay.
Kids bring you a lot of drama, so it's hard to know which one actually qualifies as legit drama.
And I mean, something bad happened.
Right.
What happened? This toy broke. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Enough of the dramatics.
Your parents don't invite you to family get-togethers.
Damn, man. I mean, I think at that point, there's no question that they don't like you, but it seems like there's some bigger issue.
Correct. At that point, it's not about least favorite, most favorite.
They don't like you.
You kind of suck to be around the family. If the family's still getting together and you're not invited, you suck.
Yeah, it's not them.
Your siblings get away with everything. And there's the difference, is when your siblings get away with stuff, okay? When it comes to your brother, I feel like your brother didn't need to get away with things because he just didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything. And, like, on the two occasions that I can recall from childhood where he, quote-unquote, did anything, he almost got in worse trouble than me because it's just not expected.
Sure.
You know, I mean, like, they came down real hard on him where I was kind of always in trouble, just kind of a sliding scale. So it's just like, come on, man. Like, we're tired of talking to your stupid ass. Right. We don't expect a lot, but can you not be that dumb? Where my brother, they're like, what are you doing?
I know.
You're not your dumbass brother.
That sucks.
Also, sometimes you just have a sibling, my sister, who was just bad at it.
Right.
Oh, my God.
But she got in a lot of trouble because it's like, dude, you're not even, like, trying to sneak around or...
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, when a high schooler walks out of a house on a Saturday evening with a backpack that's clearly that is so full. Like, I remember my mom just like grabbing the backpack and walking her back in, like, what is in this? And it's obviously cans of beer.
Right? And that's almost more upsetting. I'd almost rather find out something after the fact, like, hey, your son snuck into the house of beer, like, okay, you weren't so stupid that I caught your ass before you. Right. At least tells me you're trying.
Right.
That says respect.
That's like having
because you recognize that if I find out you're in trouble, so you have the respect for me to try to hide it from
That's
me.
Like having a Coke bottle with vodka in it.
Yeah. Miles.
That's right.
Yeah. Or smoking weed in your bedroom.
Right. Like, come on, man.
Oh, jeez.
Go to the bathroom where the exhaust fan is.
Yes. Go out back.
I mean, there's lots of options, but it's like,
you're doing right.
My sister just was so bad at it. But like, we had a couple bedrooms. She had the middle bedroom. Like, you could walk to the bathroom. You could walk to any room without walking by it.
Why are you being so hard on me?
Yeah.
Because you're stupid.
What are you doing in there, Cheech?
Cheech.
Signs you might have been the least favorite child. They're always comparing you to your siblings.
No, I never had that.
I feel bad because I was the one that was compared to.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, and even with my kids now, man, it's like, that's just something I will never do.
The thing is, my memory recall was really good, especially in school, and so I did very, very well in school. I always came back with A's. Like, my dad's biggest...
You the oldest?
No, middle child.
Okay.
You know, I came back, and I remember I had a conversation with my dad one time, and his words were, why is this an A-? Like, that's the kind of school kid that I was.
My brother got that, man. I remember it was English class, and he was always... He finished second in his class in high school. Mm-hmm. Lost everything to Julie Chen. I remember. It didn't matter what class it was, the top grade was Julie Chen, right behind her, Adrian Hill. But anyway, he came home. This was high school. It was all A's. He had one C. And they weren't like yelling, but they talked to him about it for like an hour.
Right. You're disappointed.
I came home one time. Everything on my report card was a C, and it's like, we're going to Red Lobster.
Right.
Right. There are no D's. There's no F's.
Shrimp days.
Yeah. All you can eat.
They spend more quality time with your sibling.
I don't know. I mean, what's quality time?
Yeah, I guess that depends on how quality the time is.
Right. Both of us just kind of want to be left our own devices.
Well, and it kind of depends on what you have in common with your parent at that point.
That goes a long
quality
way.
Time, that's your parent extending beyond parent and becoming friend, and then that's a mutual relationship of you guys figuring out what it is that you two have in common with each other, and do you actually like spending time with each other.
Yeah.
And also, I think it depends on what kids are doing what, right? Like I said, when I was a kid, I would play like three different baseball leagues. Like, my parents didn't come to every game, but like my sister, it just wasn't good at sports. She played like 1 year, 2 years or something. And they would go to every single one because it's like...
They know it's fleeting time.
Correct.
Right.
You have rules, but your siblings don't. Again, these are signs that you might have been the least favorite child.
Well, it depends on what you've done. Rules are different from different people.
Right.
It's kind of like, look, we all walk through this country with the same rules, and then you might get restrictions.
Correct.
Because right? of things that you have done. Like, okay, well, you can't do this, but everyone else still
can. Steve doesn't drink tequila.
Right. There's a reason for that.
Yeah. I don't know why I have to wear glasses when I drive.
Exactly.
Obviously, because you need to see.
Right. You can't see.
You know, they don't.
Your parents spend more on your siblings.
If they do, they wouldn't tell you.
Right. And not being a parent, that is one thing I've seen from the outside looking in as I grow older, is like trying to make sure that those receipts add up for all your kids to the equal, at least to a balanced amount. That would be rough.
My wife panicked about that, like at Christmas. So we spent so much more money on the boy than the daughter. I said, but they both got what they asked for.
Right.
The difference is he plays video games.
He wants more expensive stuff.
She wants to draw.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, she wants paint, she wants pens, she wants papers. And I'm like, that's reasonably cheap. She got a ton of stuff. It did not cost much. My son got, like, you know, six things. And I'm like, he wants a replica NFL jersey. Right. Like, that cost as much as everything that we did. So
right,
it's,
right.
I was like, it ain't about the money. It's about what it is they like.
Who'd he get?
He got
Derrick Henry?
No. He wanted because
Justice Hill?
He didn't want Derrick Henry. He loves Derrick Henry, but he knows it's only a 2-year contract. So he's like, come on, man. So he got Rashad Bateman and he got Zay Flowers.
Oh, had a boy.
And he already has a Mark Andrews. I've got Lamar Jackson. So
basically,
he's
got the entire receiving corps.
That old guy, he loves it.
Is Isaiah Likely coming?
Seems natural.
Dude, he's really starting to like Isaiah Likely.
You guys should get a Hill jersey.
Oh, Justice Hill?
Yeah.
He doesn't play enough. When he does play, he does good things, but he's just not there.
But your son will always be a Hill.
I know this.
Signs that you might have been the least favorite child, you had to look after your siblings.
That was just part of
being an older child.
Yeah.
Right. It just became
I was the babysitter.
Yeah. And after.
They were gone. I could take care of my brother and my sister. I didn't care.
If the parents are going to leave the house, like, game on.
They're bringing a pizza home? I mean, I got to do is make sure that they get their pajamas on, get the bathtub, whatever. Okay.
Right. Same crap they do every day.
All right.
And then this is...
I'm with you, Miles. If my brother was left to babysit us, it was almost guaranteed, like, somebody would buy a pizza and then be like, all right, Chris is in charge. Great.
Cool. Watch boys. On television, the whole deal. You
know? Yeah.
And then this is the number one sign that you might have been the least favorite child in your family. It's when you had to do all the household chores.
Oh, no, we got that split equally.
I was the oldest, so.
Oh, yeah?
I'm cutting grass. All the things that, you know, I'm 7 years, 8 years difference on my brother.
I had to help dad out all the time because I was the only dude in the family, so I had to do all the yard work. I had to do all the house. Yeah.
Rake the leaves.
Fixing stuff in the house, go to the attic.
My brother initially
had it worse than me because he's 5 years older, right? So, I mean, but then when he's 12, I'm 7. Like, there are certain things he can do that I can't.
Sure.
But also, he moved out 5 years before I did, and, I mean, that torch got passed real quick.
Yeah, right?
Real quick.
A flight taking off from O'Hara to make an immediate emergency landing after takeoff, but it was not a bird that caused the stir there, Miles.
What was the problem?
Tell you all about it at 5:50.
Thank you, sir. Headlines are coming up at 5:50. In the meantime, have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve a Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today's shot is brought to you by our friends at Black Raven Brewery, the brewers of Men's Room IPA, and this year, the 20th anniversary Men's Room Lager. And today, we toast last month's graduates from UC Berkeley, namely one in particular, one Adrian Marquez Jr. And not for any reason other than it really, really sounded like the person announcing the student had a serious problem with him. I'm going to play the audio, and you're going to wonder, why would you say this to this guy?
Adrian Marquez Jr. UA Frank Guan.
Yeah, listen again, Ted. All right, this is the graduation, all right? And Adrian Marquez Jr., he's walking across the stage, and then you listen to the woman announcing him, and it gets a little bit worse.
Adrian Marquez Jr., UA.
That was Frank the second person. One.
That was the third person.
Just so you know.
That was the middle person.
Did she call him an a-hole?
No. Listen again. What is she saying to him?
Adrian Marquez Jr., UA. Frank Guan.
She's not insulting him. It turns out it was not an insult. It's a slightly mispronounced name of the next graduate, whose name is Yuang Shi.
Oh.
But when you listen to it and you don't know that, this is what you hear.
Adrian Marquez Jr. Yuang. Frank Guan.
She's just talking about the next graduate to cross the stage. Yuang Shi. So Adrian Marquez Jr., I hope you know who that person was. I don't know if he took it personally, if he did not, but it sounded bad.
I mean, they landed the T in the whole
thing. I mean, yeah, they,
Yuang.
Because the first time I heard that, I'm like, why would you say that to someone? It's just the name of the next student up there. I'll play it one more time because it makes me laugh.
Adrian Marquez Jr. Yuang. Frank
Juan. You know, you ever heard that country song? So going to high school graduations, me and my buddy went to my nephew's, right?
Okay.
So you ever heard that country song, One Margarita?
Yeah.
Right, One Margarita, Two Margarita. So my nephew at his school, which was massive, there was like three kids in a row with the last name Margarita.
You're kidding.
So the first one came up, and then the second one, me and my buddy are like, two margaritas. And then by the third one, I look over at my cousin and her husband are looking at us like, three margaritas.
Shot.
So we pour this booze, and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy.
So over the tongue and down the throat. To party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola.
All right, let's get a contestant on the line for Profile This, 206-803-ROCK. Profile This is next.